Blog Talk Radio.
The guy Bender at number four just reminds us that Chris Kristaps last year, he went number four. No one really heard of him.
Here we go. Now there's a report that Rondo wants to come play for Brooklyn. He's trying to take Yogi Ferrell's spot.
We'll not see Yogi in October on that team.
They couldn't get Jimmy Butler when Jimmy Butler was being offered for the Timberwolves, what, fifth pick, and Zach LaVine, as if Zach LaVine's some superstar.
The best team ever in a regular season, Golden State Warriors, was the best doing it their small ball way. Why try to beat them at what they're the best at? Try to beat them at what you're the best at, what you have. I hate the deal for both teams.
Sometimes you speak dumb. This is one of those times.
Sometimes you speak stupid. Other times you speak dumb.
Of course. All in good fun, Monday afternoon. Be Singer Amaru coming at you at 4 o'clock Eastern. We'll take you for the next half hour. Number to call, as always, it's toll free, 323-642-1133. I'm Brian Singer. And alongside, and we'll bring him in now, co-host Nick Marucci.
How's it going, Brian?
I'm at the beautiful outdoors. For me.
Yeah, I'm in the beautiful outdoors of Easttown, New Jersey, 90-degree weather.
Yeah, it's hot out here. How's
bring
it over
the air.
There?
Oh, it's beautiful. Slight wind, beautiful weather. It's what you look forward to, man.
So tonight, we obviously got a big game. Game five of Warriors, who are 15-1 in the playoffs, and Cavaliers. Obviously, that one comes from a game four loss. So we'll get to that, give our game five predictions, and we'll move on from there. Baseball, you're kind of getting in the heart of the season now into June. And we've seen some surprising teams, some surprising players, surprising good. As in Aaron Judge, maybe surprising, disappointing for other players. Teams the same way. New York Metropolitan not exactly performing up to par, I would say. Would you agree or disagree?
Well, we're going to talk baseball at the end, like you said, maybe at a different time. It's basketball time to me right now.
Mm-hmm. So let's get to this. Game five tonight. Is there any chance the Cavaliers escape the Bay Area and send it back to Cleveland for game six?
It's slight. Very slight chance. This is going to be the hardest game to ever play in their lives tonight. And so I do believe if they do win tonight, I do believe it's going seven because they'll go back home and I think they can handle business there. But, man, that crowd's going to just be unbelievable tonight. Just unreal. This is going to be, Now, last year, they saw that team lose in Game 7, and they wanted to see the championship on their floor. Another opportunity tonight. It's going to be so hard. They legit need every single guy to play like they did last game. They need that. And on the road, it's hard to see those role players play like that. So I give them a slight chance. If you just go back to last year, Game 5, when LeBron and Kyrie had the monster 40-point games, that's what they need. So they need to have unreal performances again, which I think we could expect that one of them at least is going to go off, but that's going to be so hard.
So are you saying that they do escape Game 5 and send it to Game 6?
No. Tonight, I think it's over. I said Warriors in 5 before the series. I'm sticking Warriors in 5. I think it's just going to be the most difficult game ever. These guys are going to come out and just play with so much energy. That crowd, it's going to be tough to play with that crowd.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, they're going to need some crowd silencing shots. We saw a few. I mean, Kyrie hit some of the most ridiculous shots at the rim. I mean, it's absolutely superb how he gets some of those. LeBron obviously went off last game, as he has done all season. He has honestly the best stat line. Kevin Durant's averaging a couple more points, but LeBron's got him in percentage. Last game, he went 29, 14 assists, 11 rebounds, added a few steals and blocks to go along with it. I mean, he is playing absolutely out of his mind. And I said Warriors as well. I predicted correctly, just for the record, that they would lose game three, win game four. You went win game three, lose game four. You were wrong. I was right. Seems to be a theme of our show. That's okay.
Sure.
But to go back to game three for 1 second, LeBron James did not make a bad move by passing it to Kyle Korver. Not a bad move. Kyle Korver's a top 10 three-point shooter of all time.
He's one of the best three-point shooters we've ever seen.
However, whether he did that move, whether he went to pump fake and fade away on Draymond in the paint instead, no matter who misses the shot, it falls on LeBron James. And I know you're going to be like, of course. However, I feel like sports people, would give LeBron James a pass and blame it. Oh, Korver should have made it. Oh, Kyrie shouldn't have taken the 25-foot shot. Oh, Tyronn Lue should have been yelling foul so they didn't waste 12 seconds off the clock. Whatever excuse people could give to assist in LeBron James' campaign to be the number one player of all time, people and you will give it to him, but you won't give it to other players.
I'll give it to any player that I believe is doing the right play. I think he made all the right plays to win that game.
But who does it fall on in the end that they didn't win?
It always falls on the best player, sure. But what that doesn't happen really with the Warriors. What if, you know, let's put the situation with the Warriors. Let's say Kevin Durant didn't take the final shot. He gives it to Steph Curry. And no one's going to blame Durant. He's the best player on that team. You're not going to blame him.
Not going to blame him with what?
If this was happening with the Warriors and he passes up the shots to Klay Thompson in the corner, shoot a three, you know, another great three-point shooter, and then Steph Curry takes a ridiculous 25-foot shot. Who's the best player on the Warriors? Kevin Durant.
Durant. And you know who the blame goes on? Durant.
No, the blame does not go on Durant. You would blame
yes,
Steph
it does.
Curry.
Yes, the best player, when you're you cannot allow an 11-0 run in the final 2 minutes. In the final 2 minutes, it's not all about the team. It comes down to that clutch gene. And it could come down to who has that superstar player.
But that's what I'm saying. Why do we have? Yeah, but why do we have to play LeBron? Like for that situation, what
because
I just said,
he's the best player in the quote unquote, as you state, best player in the world.
And we're saying in the other situation, you're not going to blame that on Kevin Durant if Steph Curry takes a 25. You're blaming that on Kevin Durant if Steph Curry takes a shot.
If my team lets up an 11-0 run in the final 2.5 minutes, I am blaming the best player.
On your team?
Yes.
That would never happen with Golden State, so why does that have to happen? Because he has
yes, it would happen with Golden State.
Kevin Durant would not get that blame if Klay Thompson misses a three and Steph Curry takes a 25-foot shot.
Kevin Durant probably wouldn't allow an 11-0 run in the final 2.5 minutes. He doesn't choke under pressure.
He doesn't choke under pressure. He did all those years at OKC. That's why he had to team up with other guys.
LeBron, as of a year ago, his shooting percentage in game-winning shots, he was like 5 for 47.
Everybody gets the blame, but you can't blame for complete LeBron James on that.
Blame goes on the best player when you let up an 11-0 run in the
that
final
wouldn't happen
two.
With Golden State. Who was
what,
the blame
what
on last
happen?
Year? Who was the blame on last year when they blew a 3-1 lead?
Draymond for getting suspended.
He's not the best player on the team.
He shouldn't have gotten suspended.
But Steph Curry's the best player on the team. He should be able to deal with that.
Oh, Steph deserves the blame, sure, for the on-court stuff.
But did
he
get the blame? No. But on the on-court, he didn't get the blame. And we're trying to blame LeBron James here?
Who are you blaming it on last year?
The whole team. They all choked. The entire team. They all played
But who
back.
Does it go on? Whose shoulders does it fall on?
But that's what I'm saying. Why does it have to fall on LeBron's shoulders? If he's the best
whose fault is it that they wasted 12 seconds? And we have a call. We'll get to him in 1 sec. Whose fault is it that they wasted 12 seconds at the end of game three and didn't foul?
Coach Lou.
Why Coach Lou? Why not his assistant coaches? Because Coach Lou is the guy on that bench. LeBron James is the guy on that court.
So it's his fault they didn't foul?
It's Coach Lou. Just like it's LeBron that his team couldn't get it done in the final 2 minutes.
Well, last year we can't say it's Harrison Barnes' fault that they lost that series because he could have hit a shot. You have to say it's Steph Curry's fault.
It is the best. It falls on the best player's shoulders. If the best player is a superstar.
The unanimous MVP last year, the first time ever of that, did not get the blame for them losing that finals. They blamed the whole team. They blamed Draymond getting suspended, Harrison Barnes not hitting a shot. Other way around LeBron, we're trying to blame him for guys not hitting shots.
Yes. because LeBron is known as the best player in the world.
He was the unanimous MVP last year, and did not get the blame. Unanimous. Now,
he was
one
the regular season MVP.
He was the best player last year. Unanimous MVP.
Yes, he was. Let's
and
get this far. He's been waiting for a generous couple minutes. 908-868. I'm sorry, I can't see names on the computer. How are we doing today?
Gentlemen, how are we doing? It's Robbie Kessler.
Hey, Robbie Kess.
Hey, Robbie Kess.
How you guys doing?
What do we got going on today?
Talking basketball. First off, I just got to say, where was this Kevin Durant last year when they were up 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals?
Yeah.
Just saying. But my question for you guys is, say the Warriors win tonight. I'm hearing a lot of rumors that the Cavs are going to rebuild this team again. What kind of moves do you think these guys can make, and will it be enough?
Yeah. Ryan, you want to go first?
No, go ahead, Nick.
Yeah. I think that they will try to make a move, because that's just what LeBron does. His patience sometimes, he just always wants to compete. I think the only move that I see as possible would be flipping either Tristan Thompson some pieces for Paul George or Kevin Love straight up for Paul George. I think that rumor seems to be the best possible option for them. But I don't think anything is good enough to feel comfortable against that Golden State Warrior team. That's how talented I just think they are. They have four top 15 players, in my opinion. So, I mean, they can make this move, but I don't know if it'll be enough because that team's just too good, too talented.
Yeah, I think right now what Dan Gilbert has to think is, how do we beat the Warriors? I don't think you don't worry about the Celtics. You don't worry about the Spurs. You don't worry about the Clippers. It's all about the Warriors. And I think what we're seeing right now is a lack of athleticism from certain positions, including that 4-5 position for the Cavaliers with Kevin Love. Tristan Thompson, I think, has it, but he's been disappointing. But, yeah, it's getting rid of Kevin Love. He's a great player. We've seen him as a number one. Now we see him as a number three guy, number three scorer for Cleveland. And he just can't get it done against Golden State. It's the same reason I think the Spurs should flip LaMarcus Aldridge and try to get someone younger, a little more athletic. Aldridge is a great player, but he's a poor matchup against Golden State. So that answers the second part. The first part about Kevin Durant, I got to come to his defense, because I've been defending him and his movement to Golden State. Is his stats by no means in last year's Western Conference Finals were bad. We saw Game 2, he led the game with 29 points. Game 6, where the Warriors took it 108-101, a spectacular game, he put up 29 points. Game before that, he put up 40 points. So we all have this image that Kevin Durant just ran, and Nick, you want to go ahead and say Kevin knew he was going to the Warriors even before the series. I have to disagree with you on that.
I think he knew all along. He also shot 25% from three in the three losses to finish out that series.
Mm-hmm.
25% from three is never going to get it done. He did not perform in those final three games. He did not. I know those numbers, the scoring, that's fine. The field goal percentage is not good. You're taking bad shots. That's why he did decide to go to Golden State. He didn't need to take these tough shots. He's going to get open looks.
So, Robbie, let me ask you before we let you go, and obviously, as always, appreciate the call, and one of our most loyal listeners. Do you criticize, because this is something Nick and I go back and forth on, do you criticize or do you have a problem with Kevin Durant going to the Warriors?
Well, you know, as an Oklahoma City fan, I hated to see him go. At first, I was furious, but after I really thought about it, I understood the move. You know, he wanted to get away from Russ or whatever that whole situation was. It just bugs me that it was the Warriors. Like, if it was the Spurs or anyone else, I would have understood, but they just beat you in the Western Conference Finals, and you're just going to jump ship. It just doesn't sit right with me.
I know Nick agrees with you.
100%.
Yeah.
I'm a New York Knicks fan, and I would have been totally okay with him in the Boston Green. So it was just at going to that one team. Just that was the only team that you shouldn't have gone to, and he did it.
I guess, we'll find out maybe tonight if it was the correct decision to get a ring. Robbie, appreciate the call as always, and we'll be speaking with you soon.
Absolutely, guys. Glad to hear you back on the radio.
Yeah.
It's good to be back. Thanks, Robbie. So Kevin Durant, sure, he's obviously on a much better team. He's getting better shots. But he is – he's trying to, or he's not trying to purposely, but he's making a campaign for himself that he is the second best player to play, currently playing in the NBA, true or false?
Yeah. Yes. I think even before the year started or even last year, I've always considered him the second best. I've always considered him the second best because of the way he could score, you know, the height, what he can do. I mean, now we're seeing defensively. Now he's obviously definitely proven it. But I've always believed he was second. I've never doubted the talent. I just – the competitiveness in him, I just hate it. I hate that he would do that. That's it.
So let me ask you this. This goes back to Robbie's call, but also what we discussed on Thursday last week. If Cavaliers, lose in five, let's say, which, could happen. Well, let me ask you this. This is a two-part. If they lose in five, Nick, let's say they lose tonight, they get blown out by 20, which could happen, and it has happened in the first two games of the series. And then if, let's say they take it to six, the Cavs kind of do maybe what people don't expect and take it to six. They win tonight, then they lose game six close. Do you think the reaction from LeBron / Gilbert, because one of them is the general manager, one is the owner, LeBron general manager, obviously, of that team, is the reaction different in the offseason if they lose in six versus getting blown out in five? Do they maybe not pursue to trade Kevin Love or Kyrie? Is it different if they get blown out tonight versus if it comes back to Cleveland and then they lose in a closer series?
No difference. I still think I think they know they're just not good enough against this team.
Well, let me ask you this. If they take it to seven, is there any difference?
I still don't think so. Because those guys are just going to get better. They're right in the heart of their prime. It's their first year together, which we've seen before. Teams need the Miami Heat did that first year. They lost. Sometimes they say that's good enough. Either they lose, which there's no way in my mind that's happening. But I think LeBron knows if they even if it comes down to the final shot of Game 7, he knows his team's not good enough. He knows it. The way he's even speaking to the media, I think he knows it. So they're going to make some kind of move. They have to get more athletic. They have to get smaller. That's how it is now. I don't know if it'd be good enough, but they have to do it.
All right, so then the second part, we talked about, we're both on the same page, which really doesn't happen too often, about looking into trading Kevin Love. I don't think it's something that needs – I mean, they'll get the number one seed next year. Obviously depends on, where Kyle Lowry, Chris Paul, Gordon Hayward, Blake Griffin, what the Celtics do. But as of now, if things kind of stay stagnant and remain similar, the Cavaliers could keep their team the same. They'll get the number one seed. But that's not what LeBron James is worried about. So, yeah, they should look into trading Kevin Love. If they don't, they'll still get the one seed. What about, we haven't really talked about this, and people haven't brought this up, I think, until before this series. Maybe they saw the first two games, saw Kyrie Irving struggling. And now people are starting to chatter about, is it time to look into trading Kyrie Irving? Does he not fit as a point guard in LeBron's system? Because I think we could both agree he's a score-first point guard and not the typical John Wall type of point guard. What do you think about that? Is it time to look into trading Kyrie Irving?
No, I think that would be the worst mistake they ever make, honestly. He's only 25 years old. Has he really reached his peak? Has he really reached it? I think he has a lot more room to grow. This is the type of player, type of point guard that LeBron needs to play with because LeBron's pass-first guy. He needs a scorer. He needs a shooter. And that's what Kyrie brings. So let's say if he replaced it with John Wall. John Wall's a great player, but does he really fit in with what LeBron wants to do? If, LeBron has the ball, driving the hoop, kicks it out to John Wall, is he going to knock down that shot for you? Very iffy. That's why I think maybe the worst mistake they ever make. Kyrie Irving, I think, just has, so much more room to grow as a player on both sides of the ball. We see the way he can finish. Let's see if he can just consistently do, everything all the time, become more of a playmaker, maybe become a better defender. I think that guy, he's 25. I think he's a part of your plans forever. I mean, even when LeBron's done, you want to keep Kyrie there for his entire career.
Do you worry, though, at all, because I see it, and I know you look for it as a basketball guy. Defensively, he's not as bad as Isaiah Thomas in terms of liability. But Kyrie Irving is by no way a premier defender in this league.
No. I like to say he's below average. Honestly, he He gets beat. It's just tough, man. For him, it's like, you know, he has to do so much on offense as well. It's like, how much effort are you really giving on D? That's why when you talk about two-way players in the NBA, they deserve, like, the most respect because they're giving it all on both sides, like Kawhi and Clay. And, I think that's his problem, that he just maybe, I don't know if it's, like, he's tired and doesn't want to give the full effort because he needs to save himself, but, yeah, I've seen at times just get beat pretty bad, and it just doesn't help that. It doesn't help the team.
They give up, the Cavaliers, their opponent's field goal percentage is 2% higher, which may not seem like a huge difference, but, you know, it kind of adds up when Kyrie's on the court versus off the court. I think Kyrie is an elite scorer. I absolutely do.
Yeah.
However, I don't think it's a bad idea for them to explore trading him. Obviously, I mean, this goes with any trade, whether it involves Kyrie or not. You need the right things in return. And obviously with Kyrie in particular, they would need a ton in return. But you know who might not be the worst trade partner? No, actually, that wouldn't work. I'm going to scratch that. No, I'm not even going to say it because it's going to appear on Dumbest Thing You Said Today. But what if no, that won't work either. I'm trying to – do you have any trade partner in mind that it would even work with Kyrie where they could give something in return that the Cavaliers want that warrants enough for Kyrie Irving?
Chris Paul. I think that's
– what, a sign-and-trade?
A sign-and-trade. I think would just be and I'm thinking – I still think Kyrie's better for LeBron than Chris Paul, but – Chris Paul and LeBron obviously have that relationship. You know, they're best friends, and they've always talked about playing together.
Do you think Kyrie's better on that team than Chris Paul?
I think Kyrie, yeah, because he could score. LeBron James, I mean, Chris Paul, I love Chris Paul. I think he's one of the most underrated players. I think he could score if he wants, but he doesn't have that mentality.
I agree. He's not a scorer first, and you could say – go ahead.
No, it's just tough to put two pass-first superstars together. And then, you know, and that's like that. I know LeBron James, he averages all these points, but he is a pass-first player. It's obvious. Chris Paul clearly is. Kyrie Irving's not. He's a scorer. I think you need a scorer for him. But to me, that would be the best option only because it could almost you know, like if you really wanted to play with his best friends, you know, getting Chris Paul, then flipping Love for Melo, and then, you know, doing it all in Cleveland, which is not ideal for them. I feel like they want to do it in, like, a bigger market. But, like, if that's the way he wants, if he wants to play with those guys one day, that I think that's the best way to do it.
So let me ask you this, going on something you said. Obviously, LeBron is having a spectacular finals, 32 points per game, 12 rebounds per game, 10.5 assists per game. I mean, I think you got to give him – I'll ask you this, two parts. First, what grade are you giving LeBron James right now?
For the series?
Yes.
I'm giving him an A. I mean, I think he's playing the best basketball. He might be playing the best basketball best basketball of his career ever. I'm giving him an A because he's doing so much for them to just keep them in these games. Defensively, he is struggling. But you're going to struggle when guarding Kevin Durant, when you're not getting major help because you need to close out on those two shooters. So you're going to struggle. That's why this team has lost twice in the last, what, 3 months? You're going to struggle. It's hard to guard Kevin Durant one-on-one. That's the only way I see it. So, but he was a plus 32 last game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, that's my favorite stat in basketball, plus minus. It's like what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's my favorite stat. So I think he's, you know, like giving it everything he has. I have to give him an A. I think he's been that good. It's just this team is just too good. It finally puts something together that is just going to overpower him.
So let me ask you this. This was the second part because you mentioned it, and I agree with you. LeBron is a pass-first superstar. Should that change when it comes to the last 2 minutes of a game?
Maybe, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
It probably should. He should probably say, like, give me the ball and get out of the way. And I'm going to make the play. I mean, but that's what I think he's doing. But, yeah, should he? Are we thinking he should just try to score it every time? that's going to be tough to tell that guy because he drives to the hoop. It brings a lot of attention, and that's why these shooters get open. And they have to knock those down. I mean, they just have to. They're perfect passes, wide-open shots. On your home floor, you have to hit those shots.
And however, I think we could both agree, if you could have a Kyle Korver somewhat contested three-point shot or LeBron James heavily contested shot in the paint, I'm going with LeBron in the paint.
Sure, but, you know, I guess he decided to pass it out. Maybe he you know, I would have loved to see him get to the hoop and get – I mean, but that, maybe that's what's getting in his head. Maybe that's why he's passing it out, because getting fouled doesn't always work, because for some reason – you know, we like to think he's superhuman, Superman, and he's not, you know, he's made out of a laboratory, like JR said. He struggles from the free throw line. So I don't know if that's getting into his head when he gets to the hoop, maybe thinking like, oh, if I get fouled, I get the line. I think it's getting to his head.
So now, I'm looking right now on us, courtesy of Sporting Charts. You're going to – I don't even know why I'm telling you this, because you're going to just – this is just feeding fuel to the fire. It's about five of the top, let's say eight, plus minus per game, not per 36 minutes, per game in the NBA. Five of them are on the Warriors.
I mean, they just that team is just too good. Too good. I'm telling you, that's why talking before when Robbie called in, I just don't know, like, what you could put together to beat this team. I think that, like, I don't think you can ever feel comfortable playing this team with whoever's on the team. That's how good I think they are.
All right, so how about this? We got under 3.5 minutes left. If you want to hop on board, now's the time to do so. 323-642-1133. Tweet at the show at @BSingerNMaru. Nick, if – and I'm not gonna spend the last 3 minutes of this program debating what team is the best of all time. However, what I will ask you is this. If the Warriors win or lose this game, let's say win or lose game six, let's say it goes to seven, do these next few games, does game four's loss, do all the, you know, game four, five, six, seven, does that affect your ranking of where this team goes down in all-time history? Does them going 16-0 or 16-1 make a difference for you?
No. They have dominated basketball all year. They've dominated these playoffs. A couple losses. Even if they win the championship in six, no, two losses, I think that's still incredible that they were able to sweep the whole Western Conference, which is known as the better conference by far. It doesn't change my opinion. This team is they're dominant. I knew it was going to be hard for them to sweep Cleveland. You know, I knew they were going to be able to. So, If they win tonight and they're 16-1, I still think this is the best team I've ever watched. You have to argue that they're the best team in history. You have to argue with that Bulls team. You'd have to.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. Again, not something we usually do. If you look at, I was looking today because I don't know, I have nothing better to do than look at basketball stuff. But comparing today's Warriors to the '96 Bulls, and if you look at the Bulls, some of the regular season games they lost were abysmal. They lost to the Nuggets, who were a newer franchise and had nothing to do with playing basketball. They lost to the Knicks, who actually weren't that bad. They lost to the Raptors, an expansion team at the time. So, I mean, I think what it comes down to is their game four loss, in my opinion, the Warriors. And I said this to you before. This is why I thought they would lose game four. In basketball, I think sometimes you just get a little cocky, whether you want to admit it or not, whether you want to say, oh, we're going to treat this like a game seven. You know it's not a game seven. You know you're up 3-0. So I don't think the loss to the Cavaliers should be a blemish on their legacy. I do think they could go down as the best team of all time, whether they win it in game five or whether they win it in game six.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I just – it wouldn't be a big deal to me. I mean, as long as they get it done this – now that they – or one more, just got to get it done. And now at most you can have is three losses and win a championship. And that's still amazing to me. So I think this is the best team I've ever watched, by far.
Yes, they are definitely the best team we've ever watched. Real quick, because there's only 25 seconds. Real quick, Do the New York Mets make the playoffs this year? Because this whole week after they shut it down tonight in the NBA, it's going to be baseball talk. Do the New York Mets make the playoffs?
Yes.
Dumbest thing you said today.
Did you see what they added this weekend? They bring Yordan Cespedes back. He hits a grand slam. Steven Matz, Seth Lugo were amazing. You go six-man rotation. His pitching might come together. Listen, anything can happen. It's true.
We'll see you tomorrow. Oh, my God.